This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Gabriela Marks. She's a photographer. She's president of the New Mexico chapter of the American Society of Media Photographers. That group is sponsoring a project called The Fence, which is a multi-city project that is opening in a number of cities and in Santa Fe this coming Saturday, the 9th of July. I'd like to welcome Dottie Lopez, who is a photographer. She's one of the photographers whose work is featured in The Fence, and Linda Schaefer, who's executive director of the Railyard Park Conservancy. Welcome, everybody, to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So, Gabriela, tell us about this project, The Fence.
The Fence. Okay, so it began 5 years ago in Brooklyn. And each year they have sprouted to another city. So it was Boston, Atlanta, Houston, and now Santa Fe is the fifth city in the fifth year, and it's the westernmost city. And the whole idea, as far as I get it, is the folks who started The Fence were really committed to the idea of putting up photography in public spaces. So the group that started it, United Photo Industries, they're currently putting photos on ferries and on trains and on fences and parks in Brooklyn. And that sort of captures the real feel of what this is about. It's public art in public spaces.
And it's opening here. Now, is it still up in these other cities where it's been, or is it a limited time thing?
So every year it goes up, and the cities all are up for a different amount of time. So, for instance, we're planning 3 months initially. I don't know exactly how long they're up in the other cities, but it's for at least a couple months. It's thought of as a long-term exhibit.
And is there any kind of theme to the photographs or something, some like overarching idea?
The overarching idea is community. So, and within community, there are a number of sort of subtopics. So it's nature, people, critters, play, streets, and home, I think. So everything, but all of that within the context of the idea of community.
Very interesting. Now, this is happening in and around the rail yard. How did you guys get involved with the Railyard Park Conservancy?
Well, the Railyard Park Conservancy has a committee called the Railyard Art Committee, and we're actually hosting the Fence Project. And the Railyard Art Committee selects temporary public art to be displayed in the Railyard Park through a juried process. So Gabriela and Sally applied, you know, through our online page for the Railyard Art Committee projects, and committee met. We met with them and we approved it.
So this is something that really links Santa Fe and the Santa Fe Rail Yard in particular to all these other cities, which is a really sort of beautiful idea.
Yeah, and you know, a community plays a big part in the way the park was developed, and also how community programming was developed. In addition to, you know, community is really the core of the Rail Yard Park's public art, and encourages projects that respond, you know, to the site, because the Rail Yard Park is actually a work of art too.
Yes, it is, very much so.
Santa Fe is also the smallest of the five cities when you hear those other, and I think that actually our venue is the most beautiful. Some of the other venues are actual construction sites or in more urban areas. And for us to have access to exhibiting in this incredible park just sort of elevates it even more, because the design of the park itself is so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, in some of these other cities, as you say, like construction sites always have fences around mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. which I never really thought of as potential exhibit space before, but it is in fact actually that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one of the things that I think is always kind of interesting about public art or unexpected places for public art is that sometimes people don't notice it. Like, you got people walking by in their own little worlds, and there's a picture, I think it's on your site, where there's people walking by a fence and the children are looking at it and the adults are deep in conversation.
Yeah. Which I think is really interesting, though. I mean, because it's the art will sort of permeate your experience if that happens to be, if you happen to be in a mood that day where you're welcome to distraction. If you're just commuting and you're commuting back and forth and you're just sort of never taking it in, that's one way to experience it as well. But I think part of what I'm so excited about for this is not a gallery. It's a place where entire families or kids by themselves or, you know, it's open and engaging to a much larger audience, I think.
And at the same time, it's really work of the highest quality, which is important for people to know when they're taking their walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, the jurors, when you, on the Main Fence website, you can look at who the jurors are, and they're photo directors from major magazines, they're curators from major galleries, they're folks who see a lot of photography and evaluate a lot of photography, and it's all, I mean, and world-class photographers submit.
Yeah. How did you get involved, Dottie?
Well, I had heard about the fence. I kept hearing about it from different people, but I hadn't paid much attention. And then my uncle, who's very loud, talked me into looking at it and looking it up. I kind of knew in the back of my mind that I was going to do this, but I finally paid attention to it. And I'm like, oh, I got to do this. I got to submit. So I got everything together and submitted online.
I was reading your artist statement online, and it's so interesting because you are from northern New Mexico, many generations back. You kind of left to join corporate America and then came back. Tell us about that whole process.
Well, after college, I lived in Denver, and then I lived in Dallas, and then I lived in San Francisco. But the whole time I was working for an insurance company, the St. Paul Insurance Company. And then when I moved to San Francisco, I worked for the Clorox Company, and they were self-insured. So it was just all adjusting claims and investigating claims and helping with insurance issues for the Clorox Company. But I did it for about 7 years, and it was just a painful job. Mm-hmm. My sister kept telling me, you need to get out of that. You need to get out of that. The only time that I see that you're really happy is when you're photographing. So she talked me into quitting. So one day I went in and I quit, and I started looking for photography schools, and everything fell into place. Everything got much easier.
So you'd been sort of a hobby photographer until
yeah,
then?
Yeah, I'd been shooting black and white, working in the darkroom. San Francisco had a really nice community darkroom. And in college I was shooting too, so it was just a hobby, weekend stuff I would do.
And so then you went to like art school or photojournalism?
I went to the Rocky Mountain School of Photography in Missoula, Montana. It was a summer program, so I was there for about 4 or 5 months, 2005. And it was with 100 other photographers. And we studied everything from black and white to digital photography, which was just coming into being. So I stayed and did an extra month of digital. And then I was lucky enough to get on with the Santa Fe Photographic Workshops here as a course assistant. So that's where I got a lot of my digital training or more training.
Yeah, because that was just the time of the trend, that kind of transition. Like, is anyone in the darkroom anymore?
There's a few people. I'm actually teaching darkroom classes in Los Alamos, and the kids love it. But you have to show them from the beginning, like, where to look into the camera. You know,
because
they're used to looking at the back of their phones.
Right.
So
now, you have done, it's funny, because when people are, there's always young people studying creative writing, and their teachers tell them, write what you know. And it seems like you came home and are really photographing work that is close to you as a person who grew up in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I go up to northern New Mexico. I go to all the events, the community events. I connect with these people. I just feel like, I mean, they could be my cousins. I grew up in the area as a kid, going up to Cundio, and my parents were up there, and they gardened, and you know, we did all the family events there and stuff. So it's just like home to me.
And are you photographing a lot of like special events, like festivals, things like that, or kind of everyday life?
A little of both, everyday life with family. And then I go to like all the lowrider events or the different fiestas, the different church events.
One of the things you write about is you said, I've begun to document this often misunderstood yet deeply committed community, meaning northern New Mexico Hispanic mm-hmm. community. What are some of the ways that you feel that the community is misunderstood?
I think sometimes some of the appearance might make them seem a little tougher people than they are. You know, the tattoos, the low rider, sometimes they're perceived as, I guess I would say, trouble. But they're not. I mean, it's such a cultural thing that's handed down with the lowriders, and it's such a community thing and such a family thing. Like, the fathers help the kids, the sons with their cars, and sons bring their kids into it. And it's just really a community event when you go.
A lot of those cars are in themselves artworks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things I love.
Yeah.
They take a lot of pride, and they put a lot of money into their cars.
Right. Yeah. So Is this what you're, is this how you're making a living now, is through photography?
Basically, I'm a freelance photographer in Santa Fe, and then I'm also an educator. I teach at a couple of the community colleges in the area, and then in Los Alamos High School.
How has your photography changed over the years, both in terms of what you're shooting and also the kind of, you were talking about the transformation to digital photography?
I think it's gotten more personal. I've gotten a lot more comfortable shooting people, approaching people, talking to people, spending time with them, getting to know them a little bit. Even if it's an event, you know, I'll start talking about, oh, my family's from such and such area. And it's funny, in northern New Mexico, everybody seems to know each other, or they know the families where they came from and stuff. So I feel like sometimes that opens the door for me.
Yeah.
So I can make it a little more personal.
So your work is being shown in this project called The Fence, which we're talking about today. And, I mean, is there a guide where everybody's position on the fence is findable if you want to go find one artist's photographs?
I don't think we have made one, but that's a great idea. It's not that long that it would be that hard. It's around 600 feet of photography, so going along the entire bike path from the community building, which is sort of right behind Site Santa Fe and Warehouse 21, all the way down to kind of the community garden, I think is where
it down to like where La Choza is at the end of the park.
Okay.
So people are just going to have to walk and find.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the adventure of it.
Yeah.
But for the opening this Saturday, we will have as many photographers as are in town out there to talk about their own work and show their work. So,
now, what time is the opening this Saturday?
It's 5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7 in the evening. So it's just like a gallery art opening, except it's outdoors.
Except it's outdoors, and there's no white wine.
A family event. Gabriella, let's talk about your own work. You have something that's so interesting that you wrote on the website of this project that's called The Fence. And by the way, it's called thefencenm.org if you want to find it online. But one of the things you wrote that really was touching to me is, like, you wrote, "Here's one thing I know. You can't talk a seed into growing. No amount of advertising or strategic marketing will persuade a crop to yield." And you sort of go on from there. And this whole word, I mean, you, Dottie, used the word, well, you all used the word community, and you use the word authenticity. And words like community and authenticity tend to become buzzwords in society, I think, when you're missing them.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a need for them.
There's a longing. There's a longing for something, and we can buy something that approximates maybe what that looks like, but there's a difference than actually feeling it or being a part of it.
Yeah.
And so I photograph a lot of farmers. There's this thing, farm to table, and that's a phrase that everybody knows by now, but it's much different to actually kind of understand what it means, especially here in New Mexico, because I came from California, which is an agricultural mecca in a lot of ways in terms of growing things. And to grow things here in New Mexico takes a much different approach and appreciation for what you can do with the land and the water that you can get, whether it's from acequias or from the sky. And it's not a very glamorous thing to do, but these are the folks that are actually raising food for us.
Yeah. And trying to do it in a way that's sustainable, and trying to do it in a way that takes the ecosystem into account that they're living in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the lives that they want to live, and the way they want to raise their children if they have children. It's all sort of a cohesive whole.
How did you get involved in this yourself, in photographing farmers?
Local Flavor. I started shooting Local Flavor when I moved here in 2006. Local Flavor was the first magazine that I started shooting for. And it was also the time that I had my very first backyard to play in. So learning how hard it was to grow anything, and being sent out to photograph at these beautiful, very homesteady, rustic rural locations, it all kind of resonated for me.
Because you'd been in a much more urban environment before that?
I came here from San Francisco, yeah.
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 Not growing a whole lot, except maybe in your windowsill or something.
Yeah, and not even there. I had never grown anything, frankly.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still struggling to get mint to grow without the grasshoppers eating it all up. So I still have huge admiration.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, everybody wants to be organic and sustainable, and then you get bugs, and what's the next step?
Exactly.
I'll tell you what I did about grasshoppers. I had a Jack Russell Terrier. and she ate them all.
Did she really?
Yeah.
My dog doesn't have very good aim. She never get them.
Maybe you can rent her out.
Yeah.
She's passed on to the great dog park in the sky, but she ate every grasshopper in the yard, and they were completely infesting my life. Who knows? Anyway, moving right along, we're talking about this exhibit of photography called The Fence. Now, there's a lot of New Mexico photographers involved in this.
So what one of the things that we wanted to do, and I think the Rail Yard Conservancy agreed with this, is make sure that we had a New Mexico component to this so that it wasn't just a national touring show. So we decided that we would make it. Two of the other cities also have regional components, but ours is the largest with 16 photographers. So New Mexico residents were invited to submit not only for the national, but for the regional, and they were considered by New Mexico-based jurors that were selected that are part of the photography community here.
And so when people are walking along the fence, they'll see both New Mexico photographers and...
And photographers from around the world, yeah. Images from Afghanistan and South America. And one of the things that I'm really hoping comes across in the experience is that these images that are familiar to us, Dottie's images of lowriders or a farmer in Velarde, that those, you can find a commonality between those and people who live in very different places that don't look like people who live here, that live in very different landscapes, that, you know, some of that commonality and empathy can be part of the experience of seeing all these images together.
Have the two of you as photographers found that, like when you're looking at some of the other photography that's in this show, that it like resonates for you?
I haven't had the chance. I've looked at local photographers who are also on the fence with me, but I haven't seen a lot. I've kind of scanned through them. You probably would know better than I, Gabrielle.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah. No, I think I do. I mean, documentary photography is documentary photography. And if you get an image of someone with a real gaze, who's being really their themselves, and in a moment, and you capture a moment that conveys a feel of a place, that to me is universal.
Yeah.
Regardless of where it is you were shooting or who you're shooting.
And I really think the photographs appeal and speak to the cultural diversity of the residents of Santa Fe. So I love that element about the exhibition.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how do you mount an exhibition that's going to stay outside? Like, how do you protect them against the elements?
Well, that's one of the things that's a given, you know, that the applicants need to be aware of when they apply. And what's the material that the photographs are on, Gabriella?
It's a white vinyl. I don't know exactly what it's made of. It has little eyelets built into it, so it can withstand some of the wind. But this very same white vinyl survived Hurricane Sandy in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
So it can take the elements.
You mean there was a The Fence exhibition?
The Fence was up
during
in Brooklyn
Sandy.
During Sandy, and it survived.
Well, yeah. Then.
So we're gonna like expose it to a lot more sun than it gets in Brooklyn, and
yeah,
maybe more wind. But they're right on the waterfront in Brooklyn, so it's not like...
Yeah, we don't have the salt here.
Exactly, yeah.
So, Linda Schaefer, tell us a little bit more about what's going on at the Rail Yard Park. It's now, I think you had a change of name. It's called Rail Yard Park Conservancy.
Right, and we decided to change the name so it reflected more clearly the work that we do. And, you know, the Rail Yard Park Conservancy is responsible for all the horticultural care, community programming, and public art in the Rail Yard Park. And we do, you know, the Rail Yard Park's 13 acres, so it's a big park. It's the largest cultivated park within the city's system of 70 public parks. And it's the only park that has a conservancy that is, you know, responsible for the horticultural care. So it's distinctive in that way. And it's planted with native plants. It has an orchard, apricot and apple orchard, and the apricots are actually fruiting. And you can see them when you drive along Sirius Road now.
We had you just like stand below them, open your mouth and eat them?
Yeah, I'll shake the tree for you. Yeah. And we do our work through a large volunteer effort, youth in service and adult volunteers. And last year, we had probably close to 1,500 volunteers come through the park and, you know, provided 3,700 hours of in-service work on conservation projects and to keep the gardens clean, you know, pick up trash, keep the acequia. The Acequia Madre runs through the park, too. So it's a great source of water for the waffle garden and flood irrigation. So.
And people are using it. I mean, that is the most important part, I think, of any park.
That's the best part of the park. Yeah, people do use the park. People come to see the art. You know, for example, we had Don Cannell's Blue Gorilla. Do you remember that?
We talked about this on the show.
Yeah, it was across from Alsop's.
Right.
And I would see, I'd be at Alsop's getting a coffee, and I would see minivans, like, pull into the little maintenance road. The doors would slide back, and, like, 8 or 10 kids would jump out with their moms and start to climb on the gorilla. So
nice.
Yeah, and the idea is to have the public and visitors, you know, interact with the art and stop and, you know, have a moment and be with the art. And actually, this is the first time we've had photography in the park. It's typically been sculptural before.
Yeah.
So this is very exciting, and it's really, you know, a privilege to be selected as the fifth city.
Brooklyn, Boston, Atlanta, and Houston. So what has been the response in those cities to this project? Do you know?
I wish I could tell you.
Yeah.
We've got one of the founders coming into town in a couple of days, and I know he would be able to answer that question. I mean, some of what I have heard is just that people enjoy coming upon art when they don't expect it. That element of surprise and sort of like my walk and suddenly became more engaging.
It's funny, though. I mean, just like there was this kind of experiment that somebody did. They took one of the greatest violinists in the world. They put him in the platform in the subway.
Oh, Joshua Bell.
Joshua Bell.
Yeah.
I think it was in D.C. or New York?
I thought it was in New York. But.
Yeah, it probably. And then they filmed to see whether anybody recognized how amazing he was. One person was like, you play so well. My God, what are you doing here? This is crazy. And everybody else just sort of walked by and handed him a quarter and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Whether a photographer is a world-class photographer or just starting out and has images on the fence, I think it's going to be just fascinating watching how people respond to it, what they see, which ones they're drawn to, that sort of thing. But it's less about, you know, sort of highest echelon, highest honors kind of thing, and more about presenting different narratives and different views of the world. And hopefully it'll encourage, you know, children who've never really seen photography done this way, they'll get excited about doing it too.
How big are the images? How big are your images?
They're going to be 8 feet, I think. I'm not sure.
Well, the fence is 6 foot high, and we're doing a sort of two rows of three each. Every photographer has six images. So they are, I'm making hand signals, which of course you can't see on the radio. I think they're about a foot high each, maybe 2 feet high each. It depends on if it's a landscape or a portrait orientation.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so people will just be able to take it in over the course of the summer. How long is it going to be up?
It's up until October 9th, but if it goes well, we may extend it.
Yeah, we could extend it, yeah.
What would be great, so one aspect of this is we are a part of the collaboration called Photo Summer here in New Mexico, which is a huge series of events and lectures and workshops and exhibits that are a collaboration between Center, Axel Contemporary, UNM, 516 Arts. There are so many venues and so many things going on with it, and Fence is just a part of that. But we may go all the way into winter, which I think would be... We'll start photo winter.
Photo summer, photo fall, photo winter.
Yeah.
And so this is one part of it, and there are other public programs, exhibits,
there's
things like that.
Hundreds, yeah. And it really speaks to how prominent photography is here in New Mexico. New Mexico is a small state, and we're a little unnoticed in some ways, but there's a tremendous legacy of photography here in terms of some of the early masters who came through, friends of George O'Keefe, other folks working through here. One of the most famous and sold images ever is the Moon over Hernandez,
right,
by Ansel Adams. So this is but there's also a very vibrant community of contemporary photographers creating work, and Photo Summer and the Fence in part is a tribute to that.
I wanted to ask you both something, the two photographers here, Gabriela Marx and Dottie Lopez, and that is when you both started doing photography was something that you had to have a certain amount of money to be able to even afford to do, like all that. I remember paper, just photographic paper cost quite a lot. and the cameras and all that stuff. And now everybody can go buy a little digital camera at Target, and suddenly there's gazillions of photographers. We're overrun with images. I mean, you can't go through a day without seeing, I don't know, I've never counted how many images a day I look at just on Facebook, for example.
Yikes, yeah.
What does that do to you as an artist? What does it do to the field?
I think as a business, it affected me more, but as an artist, I'm still doing the best I can to get my work out there. You do have a lot more competition when you're trying to get paid to take images.
So that's the business part of it.
The business part of it, I think, has been affected. But the art part, as far as making my personal images and getting them into galleries and shows and stuff, I feel like that's still, you have to know your skill, I think. Well, you both ways you have to know your skill, but it seems like people are able to sell their skills a little bit more, but even if they don't have the proper gear and stuff.
Right.
Just with digital, they can tweak things. And
well, and to follow up on that, I think it's also you have to, anyone can take a ton of photos on their phone, right? That's what everyone does. I love taking pictures on my phone. It's a liberty. It's very freeing after, you know, doing very focused client work. But if you have a voice, you have a voice. And for one of the things that is powerful about The Fence is that these are not single images. They're all narratives. It's a series. And that really, to me, when you're working on a project and you are beginning to really try to tell a story, that to me is the distinguisher between just firing off selfies and shots of, you know, the food that you're eating or a place that you are. That's what really distinguishes the work that's on The Fence from
working on
the barrage of Facebook.
Just takes so much more energy and time with people. Going back to the same location maybe multiple times or visiting with the same people multiple times. You have to be willing to put that time and effort into it.
Right.
And it's storytelling. I mean, that to me is where the sort of the difference between a soundbite on Twitter and actually formulating like a great article or essay.
Right, exactly. And yours is the story of
farmers.
Northern New Mexico farmers.
Yeah, yeah.
And yours is the story of Northern New Mexicans.
Yeah, Northern New Mexico communities.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, the project is called The Fence. The local website is thefencenm.org. And it opens this Saturday at the Rail Yard from 5 to 7. And where exactly should people go?
People could meet at the community room in the Rail Yard Park, which is located directly behind Site Santa Fe.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, that's where we'll start.
And then people will, like, walk together the length of this long fence?
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, and the artists will be available, so they can speak to the artists, talk about the images, and it's really kind of a photography party with the community, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it exactly, yeah.
Very
outside
cool.
On what will, I'm sure, be a beautiful evening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let it be so.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd like to mention, too, that if there are artists out there that would like to apply for a project to be exhibited in the Rail Yard Park, if you go to railyardpark.org and under programs, you'll see Rail Yard Art Project. And if you access that, there's an online application. And we'd love to have more people apply. Because, you know, art is very important, and it ties in the whole 13-acre Rail Yard Park and brings art across the street from the galleries, Paseo de Peralta, into the, you know, the green park, the green space proper.
That's railyardpark.org. Linda Schaefer is executive director of the Rail Yard Park Conservancy. Gabriella Marks is a photographer and president of the New Mexico chapter of the American Society of Media Photographers, which is sponsoring the project called The Fence. Dottie Lopez is a photographer whose work is featured in The Fence. Thank you all so much, ladies, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
All right.
Thank you. We'll see you out there.
This has been great.
Excellent. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.